Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, first off, I want to wish everybody out there all across the great state of Montana and, heck, our listeners all across the country. We've oftentimes even got soldiers deployed overseas that are listening to Montana Talks. They're listening on an app while they're working on helicopters, working on their vehicles and other equipment, or getting ready to roll out on a mission. So absolutely an incredible honor to have this microphone. And just want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, throughout the Christmas and New Year's holidays, we have got some incredible content, some incredible information that we're going to be delivering throughout the entire time. I'm going to be burning up a few. I've got these like use it or lose it vacation days. And in the past, I'd always use it because I'd be gone for, you know, military training, and I could either take, you know, time off or you know, use vacation time when I would leave for military stuff. And so I'd usually do a blend of the two. Right, because you don't want to be missing from your day job for too often, or people start to forget who the heck you are. So, and you know, you just got to get the work done, especially in important election years like this, right? So anyway, we've got some incredible content for you. If you don't have the Montana Talks app on your smartphone yet, download that app. Or if you like Spotify, if you're already on, you know, a podcast service like Spotify, all of our Montana Talks content is on Spotify, and it gets there very fast. I think sometimes even when we wrap up the hour, it's already on Spotify within minutes before the next hour continuing. But here's the deal. David Noble, the great David Noble, is going to be in for several of these days throughout the Christmas and New Year's holidays, and he always does an incredible job. I'll tell you what, you would think today could be a slow news day, and there's nothing to talk about, nothing big in the news. But that's where David Noble and his great insight comes in. He's well-read. He can talk about the American classics and how they're relevant to today. He's also, you know, a lawyer who grew up in Manhattan, Montana. And so he's got that Montana kid insight, but also got that legal insight as well. So going to be some great shows with David Noble at the helm. And then on top of that, we're going to have, for a couple of days, we're going to have Scott Aspenlighter in the house. He's an engineer. He's got his own engineering firm here in Montana. Grew up in Northeast Montana. So he's got that forgotten corner insight from Northeast Montana. Great guy. Now, he's been on the show before. He's guest hosted the show before alongside Jake Eaton. They both filled in for me here on Montana Talks before. But now Scott Aspenlighter also serves on the Billings City Council. So I think you're going to get some interesting insight from a city council member and some of the added perspective that he can now bring to the table, since actually sitting inside the Billings City Council, where, you know, they've of course been trying to tackle a whole host of big problems like crime from the drug cartels, and how do we build a temporary detention facility to deal with jail overcrowding and more, which is a big issue all across the state of Montana. So listen live, tune in live, or hey, if you're traveling and your schedule's disrupted, download the Montana Talks app and you can pick and choose which segments you want to listen to, because I tell you, it's going to be great coverage all the way through January 1st.
We'll be back with the best of Montana Talks right after these messages.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of clouds today, occasional sun. High near 49. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 26. Slight chance of snow early Thursday, then a chance of seeing some rain. High near 46. Thursday night, mainly cloudy, low near 29. Becoming sunny on Friday with a high of 48. Friday night, chance of seeing some snow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lock.
Rocking around Christmas tree.
It's a Yuletide tradition on Capitol Hill, an annual custom of rocking around a congressional Christmas tree, festooned with hundreds of legislative ornaments, Advent appropriations, and mistletoe modifications. A political Polar Express chugs through the halls of Congress nearly every December. It's always the last piece of legislation huffing out of the congressional station. All aboard, hollers the conductor. Get your Noel needs loaded into the baggage car of this train, or it's going to be left behind. So lawmakers decorated their Christmas tree in the only way they know how. It resulted in a colossal 1,500-page interim spending bill to avoid a government shutdown. House Speaker Mike Johnson proclaimed he would not do any massive bills like this before the holidays. So Congress finally passed a slimmed-down bill. Definitely not a Christmas tree. It just kept the government running through March 14th. So no holiday crisis. Merry Christmas. But beware the Ides of March. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks. And there's going to be some great content. David Noble, Scott Aspen, Leiter, and more. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks.
You're listening to the best of Montana talks.
Yeah, I got an email the other day. You know, oftentimes we'll get folks that'll just call into this show, and then some folks will email and say, hey, could I join you on the show? I got something I want to talk about. And sometimes that's helpful because, you know, if we get a random phone call, it's a great way to put things on our radar. But if we get a heads up ahead of time, it's kind of like, oh, I can do a little bit of reading, do a little bit of research. Not as much research as I'd like to do, given how busy we are here with the show, but at least, you know, get a little bit more of the backstory. But I got an email here, and let me just read a portion of that for you. My name is Baird Black, and I'm a fifth-generation rancher in Gallatin Gateway. My family has been defamed, and my community has been manipulated by the Gateway Conservation Alliance, a nonprofit that is now suing the Gallatin County and the state of Montana since our gravel pit was approved. Their actions have the potential to shut down hundreds of projects and cost the state millions of dollars. They are already causing great financial stress on TMC Incorporated and my family by stalling the project. Anyway, that was part of the email that I got from Baird Black, and shared the website gatewayrocks.com as well. But Baird, thanks for calling in, and thanks for joining us. First off, just tell us about your family ranch there.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Aaron. We've been here for 153 years, so since before Montana was a state. And it's been cattle. We run about 500 head of cattle, and we have a very small farm, so about 140 acres that is farmed. And what's happened over time is the cost of all our inputs continues to rise. So inflation is a huge factor, as well as property taxes continue to go up. So someone arbitrarily tells me my property is worth more, and then they raise my taxes. And so to battle those combined factors, I have to be creative about generating income. And I have several different business ventures, but the gravel pit, I was approached by TMC, and we went through the process of seeing what the record was like, looking out at reclaimed pits that they've done, and we were so impressed with who they are as a company and their willingness to just accommodate our neighbors and do things like build extra tall berms, position things in different places so that it wouldn't be an obstruction to neighbors. They're just overall a great company. So we were super excited to work with them. And so, like I said, the spot where they want to put the pit is 140 acres. It's 130 acres is the actual pit site. And that is a depleted farm. And so a tractor costs more than a mortgage right now. And with 140 acres, you're not making a living on that farm. So I leased that out, and it's been chemically farmed, so monocrop right now. It's it was Roundup-resistant wheat this year, and the soil's getting tired. And so it's time to do something different. And we went through the process with TMC of saying, hey, let's go to the DEQ. Let's get this process started. And we did, and it actually went really well, we thought, until I saw the first news story in June of 2023 of one of my neighbors talking about how the gravel pit was going to destroy the valley here. And the irony of that, Aaron, was that he was saying that from his reclaimed gravel pit. It was an interview on KBVK. You can see my commentary on it if you go to the YouTube channel that you can find from gatewayrocks.com. And he was actually in his reclaimed gravel pit that they were saying how beautiful it was, telling us that we were going to destroy the valley if we had a gravel pit. And when that happened, I knew. Yeah, that was bad. When that happened, I knew we were in trouble. And so then it was 2 months before we ever had any stories about us from the media, and I literally had to go hunt them down. And when we did get covered, they would leave out the points that I was making, that they never provided any evidence for their claims. The hypocrisy of it all, they would edit me, whether it be in print or on video. It just wasn't good coverage, and they weren't getting both sides of the story. And so we battled that for a while. There was a non-profit created right away called the Gateway Conservation Alliance by a gal from San Francisco, a new transplant, of course. And they worked our neighbors up into a fervor. So the first thing they do is they convince everybody that we're going to kill, you know, we're going to give them death to dust, and the kids in Gallatin Gateway are going to be poisoned. And then they say, we're going to pollute the Gallatin River and kill the trout. And then they say, we're going to the road carnage, you know, the road isn't going to be safe. And you go down the list, whether it be the elk or whatever environmental issue, they will make a claim against you, and then they will have no data to back it up. But once they make those claims, the damage is done.
And then they've got a liberal media that will constantly take their side. You know, that's one of the things about talk radio that I love. And even when I've had, like, Democrats on this show, they say they appreciate coming on a show like this because, you know, if you go do an interview with the TV station or with the newspaper, they're going to chop up and grab whatever part they want, and there's the potential for them to twist it any way they want to twist it. Whereas, like, hey, I might ask the Democrats some questions they don't get anywhere else that they don't like, but people get to hear their full response. You get to hear you get to hear it in full. Hey, stand by, Bear Black. We'll come back to you right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Here's my list of things we've all gotten used to over the last 25 years that look to be different in the next quarter century. Low inflation and very low interest rates. Not an easy prediction, but forces like globalization that gave us the great moderation of prices look to be spent. Unlimited federal deficit spending. Politics won't kill ever-growing deficits, but financial markets and interest payments might. Limited growth in electricity demand. There's been close to zero increase in electricity demand since 2000, but electric vehicles, data centers, and heat pumps are changing that. Surplus workers. Labor markets will loosen somewhat in the coming years, but trends in demographics are reducing the size of the traditional working population, just as the bulge in retirees is demanding ever more personal services that require labor. America's military deterrent. Our country's ability to deter others from mischief was never perfect, but looks to be vanishing today. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The House Ethics Report on Matt Gaetz released yesterday is devastating. The report says he regularly paid women for sex, including an underage girl, one who was 17 years old, and also used illegal drugs on multiple occasions, like cocaine and ecstasy, accepted lucrative gifts, including a trip to the Bahamas. He was uncooperative and knowingly and willfully sought to impede and instruct the committee's investigation of his conduct. Gaetz also misused House resources when he had his chief of staff assist a woman with whom he engaged in sexual activity in obtaining a passport, falsely stating to the State Department that she was a constituent. Now, Gaetz says, I was charged with nothing, fully exonerated, not even a campaign violation, and the people investigating me hated me. If he was still in the running for attorney general, this would have blown him out of the water. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at, with Lane Nordlund.
Good Christmas Eve and blessings to all of you here today as we prepare to gather with family and friends. I know all those good little boys and girls that have worked so hard to get on Santa's nice list are eager for his arrival on this Christmas Eve. And some very good news out yesterday from the Montana Department of Livestock, who has received a certificate of veterinary inspection for Santa's reindeer. And those reindeer are cleared for arrival on rooftops and lawns across Montana for Christmas. Just like livestock and pets, Santa's reindeer are also required to meet movement requirements when crossing state and international lines. Fortunately, Rudolph and the entire reindeer team received a clean bill of health from the Alaska State Veterinarian's Office, having met all disease certifications and identification requirements. They passed that information on to Montana health officials. And Montana State Veterinarian Dr. Tani Szymanski reviewed the health certification and issued the required import permit number for toy delivery. And while Santa may have some weather to deal with in other parts of the United States and across the globe, things look pretty good on the weather front as Santa begins to make his journey across Montana. I would just like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I just can't resist. You know, with the ranch family with a last name Black, Baird Black, I got to ask you, are you any relation to Baxter Black? I feel like, you know, this is Baird Black on Wednesday. You know, it's any relation to the legendary Baxter Black?
Unfortunately, no, not that I know of.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, well, it's such a great Western name, but yeah, Baird Black, fifth generation rancher in Gallatin, Gateway, Montana. You know, before we talk more about this proposed gravel pit that would just be on a small slice of your family ranch property, describe more about the family rancher, because this is, you know, the more I hear and read about this story, this is like straight out of the TV show Yellowstone. And you've got a, you know, fifth generation ranch family that was here before statehood, now trying to keep the ranch alive, and you're facing a battle from an organization that was started by a woman from San Francisco. This is like straight out of the TV show Yellowstone here. Taylor Sheridan could come interview you for one, for another episode.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right on that. The ranch is just a beautiful piece of property. It runs along Turner's Place, and it's divided into two pieces. So there's a lower place in the near the, I would call it like the bottom, so the river bottom, and then the rest of the place extends up into the mouth of the Gallatin Canyon on the south side, bordering the National Forest. And where we're talking about for the gravel pit is less than 5% of our property. And overall, the entire place has just been managed so well over the generations that it's so productive, it's so beautiful, it's so environmentally beneficial. There's bears, wolves, elk, deer, just incredible biodiversity. It's an amazing place. Interestingly enough, the Gateway Conservation Alliance board came to me and said, we'd be willing to put our full force and might behind you to stop fighting you if you'd be willing to move your gravel pit site up onto your upper property, that established habitat. And I told them that that would take all their environmental claims and amplify them substantially, because it's closer to the river, it's established elk habitat. They said, and I recorded this audio, although I can't release it because I'm sure I'd be sued, they said and told me, we don't care, we're hypocrites, we're NIMBYs, we just don't want it next to us. Those were their exact words. So they've admitted to me that they don't care about these issues that they're actually using to manipulate my neighbors. And it's so destructive because they've scared everyone half to death. And now I'm a bad guy, along with TMC, this great company that employs all these incredible folks. And it's just a reputational sabotage.
And, well, so, and it sounds like, you know, there, you know, there's, I think we all get it. Like if you lived close to the area, you know, everybody doesn't want something in their backyard. You don't want a new housing subdivision in your backyard if you've lived in an area that didn't have that before. You don't want a new electrical substation. You don't want power lines, but you want power. You don't want a gravel pit, but you need that gravel if you want to build your house. Or build. There's this idea that they think that, well, if they stop this gravel pit, they'll stop construction traffic through the pass to get to Big Sky. It's like, no, that traffic is still going to be there. They're going to get the gravel from somewhere. Even if they stop your gravel pit, the construction will continue. They will get the gravel from somewhere, and the traffic will still be there. But it's interesting because I read how they're claiming that this would harm the environment, but yet at the same time they're saying, well, why don't you just do it in Ennis? Okay, so it's like, so you're saying it will harm the environment if you have the gravel pit in Gallatin Gateway, but you're saying, yeah, move it to Ennis. Yeah, harm the environment over there. It's like, does it harm the environment or not?
Right, right. Yeah, and they don't have any data. You know, TMC's been in business since before I was born, and they've got a record. It's all out there, and they have all the data. And they don't have one example of water pollution or river pollution or wells dropping or someone getting sick because of their operations. They do good work. And my family wouldn't have decided to do business with them otherwise. I'm just as concerned about everyone and the environment, if not more so than any of these folks. I mean, I am an environmentalist. The ranchers in Montana are real environmentalists. We really care about our land. We have more to lose. Who has more to lose than me? I've got 2 miles of riverfront. So who's gonna suffer if the river is polluted more than me? And I don't ever want to hurt my neighbors. If these people weren't so scared, if they would have taken an approach of getting to know me, getting to know my family, knowing our character, knowing the personal sacrifices that I personally have made for other people, that would have been a way to actually have this conversation. But just going into character assassination, forming a nonprofit where they have no liability.
And yeah, what's their actual goal here? Hold.
15% off everything you can fit inside the bag is back at Menards. Make painting easier by using a one-coat product. Grand Distinction is an interior paint and primer in one that will give your home a fresh, updated look. Right now, get 15% off Pittsburgh products and all the painting supplies you can fit inside the bag through January 12th. See store for complete details. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, let's jump right into it. Great to have United States Senator-elect Tim Sheehy back with us here on Montana Talks. Tim, first off, Merry Christmas to you and yours. I know you've been back and forth a lot. Man, what's it been like the past couple of weeks back in Washington since we last caught up with you?
I've got a lot of work to do, as you know, and I just got back from a whirlwind trip, Middle East, and then D.C. yesterday. It was actually next to your wife on the plane from Denver here to Montana, so good to see her. But we got a lot of work to do, and D.C., you can feel, though, the energy there. I mean, us having the House, the Senate, the White House, everyone's ready to just roll their sleeves up on January 3rd and get to work, so it's again, a daunting task to get this nation back on track, but we got all the pieces on the board to do the right thing.
Yeah, that was great. I got a text from my wife yesterday morning. She said, "Hey, I'm sitting on the plane next to Tim Sheehy here." So she felt bad for not calling you senator, but she didn't want everybody bugging you. So you're still low profile enough to where you can walk through the airports without being bugged by everybody, I'm assuming, huh?
Well, here in Montana, it's not quite the case. I think people have seen enough shady Sheehy commercials that everyone knows who I am here. But in other airports, you're right, I can still be a little bit anonymous.
Hey, by the way, on that front, before we jump into talking about your trip to Israel, I know you got to go see, you know, one of the kibbutzes that was just devastated by these terrorist attacks on October 7th. In the October 7th terrorist attacks. But before we get to that, you know, you were talking about how, yeah, back here in Montana, we were so inundated with campaign commercials over the course of the election that, yeah, you can't really go anywhere without people knowing who you are. Would you be okay sharing the story? I thought this was such a cool story. Because, you know, all we hear are oftentimes in the news are negative stories about college campuses and young people sometimes. You shared a story at the Montana Family Foundation banquet a couple of days after the election. You had to go up to the MSU campus in Bozeman for something, and you had all the kids with you that day because your wife had, you know, important meeting or something like that. So here you are. You're taking all your kids across this college campus, and I'm sure that the security side of your Navy SEAL background had to be thinking, oh, man, I'm bringing my kids across a college campus. But you shared what a great experience that actually ended up being.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because I think it is important for us to realize, you know, we see the headlines all the time, and sometimes, you know, the headlines just aren't the truth. So, yeah, so my wife is very involved in the Special Olympics. You know, some folks may know she has two brothers with Down syndrome, so we are very involved in the Special Olympics world and just the special needs world, you know, by and large. And she had one of her Special Olympics board meetings that day up in Helena, so I had all four kids with me, and it was 2 days after the election when I was going to the MSU campus to speak to a group there. And we had a parking. Of course, parking was a nightmare. So we parked on the other side of the campus, and I told the kids, hey, we got to walk through the whole campus to get to our meeting. We had to go through the cafeteria, and I said, you know, it's probably going to be a lot of young kids here saying nasty things, so let's just stay close to Dad, and we'll get there as quick as we can. And so we started to walk through campus, and I'll tell you, Aaron, I was truly shocked, and it was shocked in a good way. I didn't get one single negative comment. There were probably 1,000 kids we walked by and through. It was high fives. It was folks wanting selfies. There was folks shouting across the cafeteria, you know, congratulations, you know, cheers. You had people coming up wanting selfies, congratulating us for winning the race. And got a lot of comments saying, hey, we really respect how you ran the race. You know, the fact that you focused on issues and focused on what you want to do for this country. So, you know, we got to their side. My kids said, yeah, everyone likes you here. I said, you know what, guys, They do, and that's fantastic. Let's be proud of that. So you're absolutely right. It was sometimes what we hear on the news and the feelings we get through a lot of the online rhetoric just don't reflect what's really going on out there. And, of course, we saw that in the election results. You know, we were told Kamala was going to win and we were going to get pounded, and the reality was we came out ahead on all fronts, and it's a new day in America.
Yeah, you know, and I wonder if there's something to it, too, that these kids who went through the COVID craziness and went through the last 4 years of craziness, because, about 3.5 hours after you gave your victory speech at the Armory Hotel in downtown Bozeman, the on election night or the day after morning, I was at the Rockin' R doing our radio show, and a couple of the bartenders there were telling me, hey, Aaron, I'm telling you, these young people today, they are pro-Trump, they are pro-America first, and these kids are on fire. And then when you shared that story at the Montana Family Foundation banquet, I was like, yeah, this is it's pretty interesting. How was your trip to Israel? Had to be pretty powerful. This was your first overseas trip after being elected. Actually, our good friend Rabbi Chaim Bruck was the one who told me that he was chatting with you and you were going to be heading to Israel.
It was very important for me to be there. Obviously, we're going to be very busy come January. You know, we got a lot of work to do getting the cabinet in place and getting common sense pro-America policies passed. So I knew that, you know, I've been elected to serve the people of Montana and get this country back on track, and therefore I'm going to be strapped in the seat in D.C. for the first 6, 8, 12 months just getting this administration in place. So I knew I was not going to have a lot of free time to do anything other than just head down, focus on legislation and get things done. So, you know, in the precious few weeks we had between election, you know, and me getting my businesses sorted out and getting everything transitioned, hiring a staff, I was adamant that I carved out a few days to get to Israel. Number one, it was important for me to get an update on what's going on over there. You know, obviously you and I've spent many years in the Middle East, all over the region, been to Israel before. But, you know, as we saw while you're there, if you haven't been to the Middle East lately, you haven't been to the Middle East. You know, things change fast. While I was there, I went to bed one night, Syria is a country, woke up the next morning, it's not a country. So, you know, twofold, part going there to make sure I have the latest update. You can read briefings, you can watch the news, but nothing will ever replace ground truth in any situation, just like our campaign. You know, we didn't run a digital TV campaign. I went everywhere in the state, and then when you're physically there, immersed in the situation, you're going to understand it better. So that was number one, make sure I have the latest understanding of what's going on, so I could be as effective back home to support America First policies. But it was also very important for me to show the people and the leadership in Israel and Jews back home that I've got their back, that the American government is going to support them through this terrible tragedy, and make sure that you know, from Prime Minister Netanyahu, I had the privilege to meet through the Speaker of the Knesset and the leaders of the IDF, that you'll have a friend in Washington who's got your back, despite the news you read again that, you know, people in America are marching in the streets against you and advocating for this disgusting, you know, jihad that's going on. You do have people high in place in the American government who've got your back, who have moral clarity about this struggle, and will be there to support them. So it was important to do that. It was a very powerful trip, and, you know, we're lucky to have allies like them, and of course they're lucky to have folks like us in America who will support them all the way.
Of course, you won't be sworn in until about the first week of January, and so right now we're in the middle of the lame duck Senate, the lame duck Congress. But you've been back already. You've already getting an office up and running. You've been meeting with President Trump's nominees. You came out unequivocally in support of Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth to be the Secretary of Defense. I've been really glad to see that some of these squishy Republicans in the Senate, who looked like they were going to try to undermine some of President Trump's nominees, I think they very quickly heard from MAGA world, and now they're on board as well. But yeah, talk about your support for President Trump's nominees and hopefully how some of these squishy senators will be backing President Trump's nominees as well, because we don't have time to mess around.
You're exactly right. You know, time is the most valuable resource in anything. You know, we're going to have hopefully 4 or 6 years, but, you know, we're going to have 2 years here where we run the table in D.C. We have to make sure every single day, you know, we got 200 legislative days to get things done, really, and we got to make sure everyone's useful, and that means we have to get a cabinet in place. And, you know, my trip to Israel was not delinked from some of these nominees, at least Stefanik, who, of course, will be a U.N. ambassador. The U.N., through UNRWA, and so many other international organizations are literally every day fueling and funding these terrorist organizations that are murdering Israelis and frankly, Americans as well. So her clarity about when she gets to the UN, ensuring that the UN stops being a money laundering organization and a proxy for Iran, China, and Russia, You know, Pete Hegseth, who's going to be a great reform candidate for the DOD, who's going through the same type of smear assassination that they went through with me. You know, this is the playbook now for the Democrats, from Clarence Thomas to Brett Kavanaugh to Pete Hegseth to me. You know, if you're someone who's coming in who threatens their status quo, you know, they're going to go after you in the most disgusting personal attacks possible. And, of course, that's what they're doing to him. So I wanted to come out clearly and let him know and the people know that I've got his back. Tulsi Gabbard, I've known her for years. She was, of course, here in Montana with us throughout the last year supporting my campaign. You know, former Democrat, of course, former vice chair of the DNC. I mean, presidential candidate for the Democrats. I mean, here's somebody who you know, was a model of the future Democrat Party, was so scorned by them and smeared by them that, of course, now she's hopefully going to be our next cabinet member for intelligence for Trump. So, you know, these folks are good people who are responding to the mandate America gave us, which is we need to fix our government. Our government is not serving the people. Our people do not have confidence in the ability of our government to apply common sense to really any situation, from the border to economy and inflation and foreign policy. I mean, time and again, we're seeing that things you hand our – you want a problem to get worse, give it to the federal government. And these people reflect a really disruption of that model. So, you know, we're going to make – the business of the American government work for the American people again. We're going to put the American people first. We're going to put American business first. We're going to put American borders first. And that's what these individuals reflect. So I'm supporting them 100%.
All right, Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, I got to take a hard break here. I understand if you got to run, but if you want to stick around, stand by. We'll come back to you after the break.
We'll be back with the Best of Montana Talks right after these messages.
The holidays aren't about where you're going. They're about the moments you share along the way. Experience the joy of connection at the Lincoln Wishlist Sales Event. Right now, visit your local Lincoln retailer or Lincoln.com to find exclusive holiday offers on current and past Lincoln models. Let's make more connections and more joy this season.
Fox News commentary.
First Lady Jill Biden has a naughty list and Nancy and Kamala are at the top. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for the book club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
It's an open secret. First Lady Jill Biden was not happy with how the Democrat Party pushed her husband under the bus. And according to reports from White House insiders to the Daily Mail, Jill is ready for revenge. Sources close to the first family say Jill is especially bitter towards Nancy Pelosi for her role in the Democrat coup. At the annual Kennedy Center Honors held earlier this month in D.C., it was notable how far away the Pelosi sat from the president and first lady. Jill is also furious with VP Kamala, but that's nothing new. But now, insiders suggest Jill is pushing her husband to go scorched earth on the party in his remaining weeks in office. The Hunter Biden pardon was just the tip of the iceberg. The First Lady reportedly wants Joe to burn the whole thing down despite his better judgment, which is rather interesting given Joe has already spent the last 4 years burning it down. The economy, border security, national security, and everything else he's torched is already up in flames. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of clouds today, occasional sun, high near 49. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 26. Slight chance of snow early Thursday, then a chance of seeing some rain, high near 46. Thursday night, mainly cloudy, low near 29. Becoming sunny on Friday with a high of 48. Friday night, chance of seeing some snow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content. David Noble's
That's supportifcj.org.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thankfully, Senator-elect Tim Sheehy able to stick around with us for a few more minutes here as he's back home in Montana here after a trip to Israel and spending more time meeting with President Trump's nominees and more in Washington, D.C. Adam Schiff, we all have our opinions on Adam Schiff, but like it or not, he is a United States senator from California. So, yeah, at some point, you're still going to have to work together on some things. Senator-elect Sheehy, I saw that you're actually going to be teaming up with Adam Schiff and a couple of other senators on wildfire prevention policy. And because oddly enough, that's one topic that even California Democrats and Montana Republicans can find some common ground on. Tell us a little bit about what you're working on there.
You're absolutely right, Aaron. We got to find ways to work together at times. You know, at the end of the day, it's not about compromise, but it is about common sense. And we don't have to compromise our values. When we're working across the aisle, we can still have strident beliefs about what's right for this country, what our values are, and never compromise on that. But there are common sense things that we can, come together on and get things done. And one of those is wildfire. You know, I use an example that the state of Washington has had a very aggressive wildfire program after some devastating fires there. And the state of Texas is now doing the same thing after the terrible fires there, a Smokehouse Creek fire in February this year. And the state of Texas and the state of Washington are cooperating on sharing knowledge about how, as a state government, they can fight fires better because the federal government has failed us. And I think the state of Washington and the state of Texas might even have like a travel embargo. They don't even like talk to each other. You know, they don't agree on anything, but they're both saying, you know what? We don't want our farms and ranches and our towns burned to the ground when the federal government doesn't answer the call. So we're going to figure this out. So, you know, Adam Schiff and I, he was just recently elected, as well as Andy Kim from New Jersey. And we were talking during Senate orientation a few weeks ago. Andy Kim, folks may not realize there was a huge fire burning in the state of New Jersey, something they are not used to dealing with. They don't have the resources to fight it. And it was a devastating fire. And they were seeing, thousands of acres in New Jersey devastated. And he was lamenting to us about how frustrating it was. They weren't getting air support and other necessary tools. And, of course, Schiff was standing there, too, from California. Said, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And people, of course, have seen the headlines about the Malibu fire. And we all got to talking, of course, wildfires, my bailiwick. And then we said, listen, this is a nationwide issue, guys. You know, we see it in the headlines and the fire's over and people forget about it. But the American people across the board from coast to coast are really tired of seeing hundreds of people killed, seeing towns burned to the ground, seeing wrong-headed policy about forestry. We can't cut trees down anymore because the environmental lobby has shut down logging. It's increasing our fuel loads. And we need to find a way to do this better for the American people. So it's something I think we can find, maybe one of the only bipartisan issues that everyone can agree on the Hill right now, which is we have to find a way to better respond to and protect our communities from wildfire.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I know we've only got about a minute and a half or so to go here. I'd love to get your take on these drones in New Jersey that the Biden administration is downplaying here. But also, you know, more of your thoughts on President Trump's nominees. There was a great quote from Ryan Zinke in Politico about how President Trump, he's like the 436th member of the House of Representatives because he is just hammering Congress on every issue. He's that engaged, that involved.
Well, yes, the administration recognizes that, again, they're limited on what they can do in the White House if they don't have congressional support. And I think one of the beauties we're seeing about a second Trump administration here with a gap in between is they've had time to really internalize the lessons of the first term and now action those in a very specific way. And one of those is front-run Congress. Make sure the Senate and the House are where they need to be before you start pushing issues so that when it's time to take action from the White House, you've got the formation, you've got the troops in formation on the Hill to make sure that they can move in parallel with the administration to get things done. Because executive orders are great. They can get a few things done, but guess what? To ensure that we have enduring legislation, you need Congress. And we still have the border. You know, President Trump secured the border first term through executive action. Great. We love it. But guess what? Biden came in on, did all that they want, and now we are all feeling the terrible impacts of that. So follow up executive action with legislation so that it is law. It's law of the land.
That's right. President Trump is conducting operational preparation of the environment here, isn't it? The way he's shaping Congress. All right.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Here's my list of things we've all gotten used to over the last 25 years, but look to be different in the next quarter century. Low inflation and very low interest rates. Not an easy prediction, but forces like globalization that gave us the great moderation of prices look to be spent. Unlimited federal deficit spending. Politics won't kill ever-growing deficits, but financial markets and interest payments might. Limited growth in electricity demand. there's been close to zero increase in electricity demand since 2000. But electric vehicles, data centers, and heat pumps are changing that. Surplus workers. Labor markets will loosen somewhat in the coming years, but trends and demographics are reducing the size of the traditional working population, just as the bulge in retirees is demanding ever more personal services that require labor. America's military deterrent. Our country's ability to deter others from mischief was never perfect, but looks to be vanishing today. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.